Everybody back to this estimates of education. It's part two. We're continuing on from where we've left off. So we'll think of this as a recess, and we're back and continue. So we're going to forego any kind of opening remarks, any kind of introductions. And I would ask the clerk to remind us all where we are in these estimates. What we're going to do is work through them. We have 60 minutes. And unfortunately, that is it. That is all the time we will have. So I would ask people to keep your remarks brief, concise, and let's make sure that we have an opportunity to look at everything that everyone wants to see in here and that the department has an opportunity to explain. So with that, Madam Clerk, I'll ask you to remind us where we are and we'll get started.
3.1.01 to 3.6.01 inclusive.
Thank you. So we'll continue on with the questions in this section only, please. And we won't be voting on each section. I'll wait till we've concluded, and then we'll vote on the whole entire estimates of this department. So I'll turn it to now Mr. Pardy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can't really recall if I have any further questions in that section, because I think I was ready to proceed on to the post-secondary.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Din. Either Din.
I have no questions.
Okay. Mr. James Din.
I think we're good, then we'll go to post-secondary.
All right, well, thank you very much. Then we'll move on to the next section then, please, and I'll ask the clerk to introduce that.
4.1.01 to 4.4.02 inclusive.
Okay, Mr. Pardy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 4.101. I'm assuming this pertains to the ABE program. Can we have the enrollment for the public versus the private?
Keep your hand up.
Put it away.
Candace, yeah. Can the broadcast spot just keep your hand up, Candace, there you go. They'll spot you. Does broadcast
no,
see our lady with the hand in the air? Assistant Deputy Minister. There it is. There you go.
Okay, there you go.
Good morning. It's Candace Ennis-Williams, Assistant Deputy Minister, Post-Secondary Education. For 2019-20, our PTIs registered 1,669 ABE students, and our community-based organizations registered 108 for a total of 1,777. So 94% were in the PTIs. The private training institutions.
Okay, good. How many colleges of North Atlantic do we have in the province? How many campuses?
We have 17 campuses.
17 campuses. I don't need to know what the enrollment is, but I'm sure that there's quite a variation in those. Can you just give me what the spectrum would be from lowest to highest?
Sure. So the September 24, 2020 enrollment for the College of North Atlantic 17 campuses was a total of 5,814 students, and the range was from 23 to the high of 1,012.
Okay. I'm assuming 1,012, Prince Philip.
Actually, my mistake. 1,012 was distributed learning. The total, actually, the highest was 1,810, and that was Prince Philip Drive. So 1,810 students at Prince Philip Drive.
Okay. Good. Fully aware of the 27 pay periods, but when I look at the salaries in 4101. The actuals were considerably more than that budgeted last year.
Bob Gardner, that actually salaries for the post-secondary review that is underway. So money transferred in to pay for the salaries for the people completing the post-secondary review.
Okay. And Bob, am I assume that this year's salaries budgeted higher basically due to the 27th pay
yes.
period?
Yes.
Okay. Transportation communications?
Same answer, Craig. It's money that came over to the department from finance to cover off the post-secondary review, and you'll find the same thing for professional services and purchase services. That's where the money came in. There was nothing budgeted there, but because of the post-secondary review, the money was supplied by finance. It was budgeted in finance and transferred to the department.
Good, good. Veterinary, moving on, 4.102.
Yep.
I think it might have been referenced last year that we had three seats in the veterinary
Three
school?
Seats per year with a four-year program for a total of 12 seats.
Yeah. Does that satisfy our needs in the province for veterinarians?
I'll defer to Candace. Typically, it had, but I haven't been involved in the past 4 years.
Yeah, so my response to that would be at current time it does. We have not had any significant inquiries that have come into the department to indicate otherwise.
Okay. On the grants and subsidies, I'm sorry to bounce back to the first section again, 4101. On the grants and subsidies, we spent significantly less in that last year.
So Craig, basically that money is primarily budgeted for ABE, but when students sign up for ABE, in many cases they're federally funded through the Labour Market Development Agreement, LMDA, and if they're not eligible for that, then they're paid for other provincial funding. So every year there's a balance between how many LMDA are funded and how many are provincially funded. So in this case, there was more LMDA clients than there were provincial clients.
On the operations, when we look at the regular operating grant, we spent about $10,000 more last year. That's on the grants and subsidies.
Oh, so you're looking at MUNS operating grant?
Yeah.
So when you're looking at MUNS operating grant, obviously you need to look at both the regular operating grant and the tuition offset, because it's all revenue that goes to Memorial. And if you look at the total amount, the 309,354 versus the 309,059, how you arrive at those numbers, the difference in 1920 and 2021. So like all the ABCs and departments, MUN in this case is responsible for $1.6 million savings for an attrition management plan and $694,000 reduction in normal operating grant. That then is offset by the additional $4 million for the tuition freeze, which is all part of the operating grant. And also this year, Memorial is paying out, or certainly severance was paid out for Memorial because of the collective agreement stipulations. So government actually paid the severance, which normally Memorial would have done, and then Memorial is paying back to government over the next 5 years, $2 million a year. So instead of Memorial taking the hit in 1 year, it's spread out over five, so that also is reflected a $2 million decrease, which is normal money that Memorial would be spending anyway, and severance.
So we've stayed the same, Bob, with the operations and the funding and under this category
Pretty much last year to this year?
Yep. And I'm assuming that probably the year prior to that would be the same as well?
Very similar, yeah.
Yeah, very similar. What is the rate of delinquency with the in the tuition as far as the repayment?
Now you're coming
in. Oh, no, I'm sorry, student loans.
Student aid's coming.
Let's leave that. Would the law school be any part of this here?
Not currently, no.
Not currently, no. Would there be a cost that you can quickly come up in relation to the medical school at MUN? And when I say the operation of the medical school at MUN, as to what portion of the cost that would be?
So the medical school is not capturing these numbers at all. The medical school is funded through the Department of Health.
Okay. Where would the battery come in here? Under this section here? Or would it be under the physical plant equipment?
The operations would be captured here.
Okay.
The physical plant and equipment would simply be $2.4 million for deferred maintenance as white paper money, and then any construction infrastructure projects that have been happening, like the core science facility and the Holyrood Marine Base, and the battery wouldn't be down there now because that's finished, but there would have been money down there and a number of budgets ago for the battery financing.
But assuming there's a mortgage on the battery, do we know what the amount of the mortgage would be on the battery? Owing?
No.
That's something, Craig, I'll have to get for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the operation there of that battery self-sufficient?
I mean, the plan, and Candace can speak to that, but I don't know, 4 years ago when they bought the battery and redeveloped it, the plan then was that it was self-sufficient, and actually it was a bit of a revenue generator.
Yeah.
That's...
I know on the Premier's mandate letter he had asked to improve the public post-secondary infrastructure. I'm just wondering, is there anything in this budget that would be addressing that mandate at this point in time? And I know that everyone is concerned about the aging infrastructure at MUN. I don't see it here anywhere.
I guess more generally, certainly there is funding related to the Holyrood Marine Base, new main building, $10.5 million. Certainly we are we're sunsetting toward the end of the strategic infrastructure funding program through which the Holyrood Marine, through the Animal Resource Center and the Core Science Facility. But I guess the main thrust of funding in this particular budget would be the Holyrood Marine Base, new base building.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Dinn.
In 4.2.01, you may have just answered this, but it appears the ministry has shifted $4 million from the regular operating grant in the previous budget to tuition offset grant in this one. Why was this done?
Jim, if I understand your question correctly, there was no money shifted from the regular operating grant. The decrease in the regular operating grant will be reflected in the $1.6 million attrition and the $694,000 operational savings, as well as the $2 million severance that I just explained. Right. And then the $4 million in the tuition offset will be new money. That was started to be reported like that probably 5 years ago. So the 64.4 last year was for tuition offset. And government has made a commitment to provide Memorial with $4 million, that's the figure that's been used now for probably 7 or 8 years, to maintain the tuition freeze. So that $4 million is an actual increase for the tuition offset.
In 4.2.02, the Battery Hotel do these generate income for the university at all?
The Battery would, based on the rental that they have for some of the space they have down there, and the Genesis Center, et cetera, and then, of course, they have some graduate residences there as well. So when that was bought and refurbished, the plan was and still continues to be that it would be actually a revenue generator and it wouldn't cost the memorial any money.
Do we have any breakdown of the revenue that it has generated since it's been up and running?
We can get that for you, Jim.
Please, yeah, that would be great. In 4.2.02, the minister's mandate letter mentions the need to improve public post-secondary infrastructure, yet here we see that over a third of allocated funds were not invested in physical plant and equipment at MUN. Even more, we see additional decrease of $10 million in this year's budget compared to what was actually spent in 2019-2020. Would the minister name which projects were affected by the lack of funding and how? And Were there cost savings, project delays, or cancellations, et cetera?
So the short answer to that, Jim, is no. There's no projects inadvertently affected. The money that you see that was not spent this year was money primarily for the core science facility that was carried over to this fiscal year. So it's just a matter of flowing the money when it's necessary. So there's been no decrease in the amount allocated for those projects.
And with the core science facility in, I know that before the production or the construction of the new mental health facility, and when they're looking at doing the flood mitigation, there was a concern at the time that those on the hospital side that they could potentially flood the core science facility. I'm just wondering, and I this is before even the construction really of the new mental health facility. And this is when they're doing a review of the berms or the walls that were built near the bridge there. I'm just wondering what measures have been put into place, or is there a cost now then to the core science facility to try to make sure that asset, that building, is not the recipient of unwanted water?
I believe that's a question better directed to Transportation Works. They would manage that project.
Okay. So has the core science building, have they even turned their attention to this? I know that the director at the time was concerned, didn't realize that was going to happen. This is about 3 or 4 years ago. I wouldn't mind that considering. I'm assuming how much money has been spent on the core science building.
The total price tag for the core science building was always $325 million.
Significant investment.
Absolutely.
And significant investments have water come through it as well. I would certainly appreciate that, and I'll certainly ask the transportation and infrastructure, but still. Would TI be responsible for that, or would the Corps MUN be responsible for it, like doing an assessment of what risk posed? I'm just trying to get an idea. As I would assume TI is dealing with the construction above and the mitigation measures, but on the building itself, on the core science building.
So MUN is managing the construction of the core science facility.
Right.
Any implications from the mental health facility and any water issues will be handled by TI.
Okay, thank you. In 4.2.02, could the minister provide information on the source of federal revenue, and are these grants or loans to be repaid?
So all the money that you see there will be federal money, and in some cases, like the core science facility, is not reflected in this document, but it is a loan that MUN would be repaying and have plans in place to repay over 25 years.
In 4.3.01, we notice a significant drop in grants and subsidies allocated to capital construction at the College of the North Atlantic this year. What was this money invested in over 2019 to 2020, and why has the projected investment amount declined so substantially?
Sorry, Jim, did you say 4.3.01?
Yes.
I don't see any capital there.
At the CNS, that would be under, I'm just wondering what would the, was there money, what was the money, was there any money invested into capital construction?
So that would be 4.302.
Oh, my mistake. Okay, carry on. Would that be, then we'll deal with 4.3.02 then? Physical plant and equipment, you're right, different heading, wrong number. So there's a significant drop in grants and subsidies allocated to capital construction. And what was this money invested in over 2019, 2020, and why has projected investment amount declined so substantially?
So the short answer to that, Jim, is that the projects that have been funded for the Strategic Investment Fund are concluding. So, for example, the Heavy Equipment Center of Excellence in Stephenville is concluding. And so those types of programs are coming to an end. So as the construction completes, obviously the funding is no longer, the funding is spent.
Okay. Also point out that nearly in that same section, that $4 million in federal revenue, $4 million in federal revenue last year, which does not appear again this fiscal year. Which program was the source of this funding?
So, again, that would be the strategic infrastructure fund as projects get completed.
Perfect. And 4.4.01, administration. And maybe 4.02 as well. Only 260,000 of the allocated 420,000 was actually spent on purchase services. Also, the figure budgeted for this item for 2021 was just over 190,000. What accounts for these varying figures?
So basically, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're asking about the purchase services under the administration of student financial services? Okay. So the revised agreement, we actually signed a revised agreement with the federal government for costs associated with service provider, and there was a reduction in the fees paid by the province. So that explains the drop from 420 down to 259. In terms of the 191, that is, again, the costs that are associated with the service provider with the MOU with the federal government.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Pardon?
Just back 4.201. The new science building. Have we accosted what the maintenance going forward will cost on this infrastructure to MUN? And I know it's new. I'm just wondering what the projected cost of maintenance would be.
I don't have that in front of me, Craig. It's something we could probably get, but I would suggest it would be offset then by, for example, the science building not being used and the plans for that. So that has been factored into MUN's ongoing cost, but I don't have anything in front of me right here.
You're talking about the being offset by the
old
science building? Old
science building, correct.
Yeah. Is there a plan for the old science building?
There's nothing definitive. I mean, there's some discussions on whether it should be torn down or maybe refitted, but that plan is still in the works.
Okay, good. MUN references probably the highest enrollment they've had this year over some time, which is good. The only thing, just wondering, I wondered they dropped the minimum qualification. Was it not 70? And I think they dropped it for this year.
Yes, that's correct.
So I'm assuming that would play a part in the enrollment increase.
We've actually had that discussion with the president, and the numbers actually of students that would not have met the 70% average that would normally be required is not that substantial, but they are doing a bit of a deeper dive on that just to monitor it.
Okay, good. Yep. Good. The tuition freeze is great, but I've always contended that there are other aspects that would leave that MUN would be getting the money in the absence of being able to increase the tuition. I always wondered about the extreme high cost of student textbooks for MUN students. Do you know if MUN, what would be the markup on those books? The student textbooks. Would there be a markup that MUN would be getting on those textbooks? It is outlandish, the cost of the student textbooks.
Yeah, I wouldn't have that, Craig.
No.
I wouldn't know what the markup is.
No. We said in the K-12 system that face-to-face was the ultimate, and we all concurred with that. I would venture to say that it is the ultimate in post-secondary education as well. What was the rationale for not opening MUN for face-to-face, either in the fall or, in particular, more so the winter semester?
So the rationale has always been to ensure alignment with public health guidelines that are in place at the current time. So paramount to any discussion that we've had with Memorial, the college, and the private training institutions since March has been the safety of students, faculty, and staff.
Oh, totally understandable. And I agree heartily with that. I just wondered why the distinction between the K-12 system and post-secondary, and just my own learning.
Yeah, so, Craig, I think one of the main differences would be in the K-12 system, as you can appreciate, we have 260 schools, and the community, and it's localized. right? So for the most part, the students that are attending a K-12 school are in the same community or certainly a neighbouring community. Not lost on us is the fact that approximately 30% of Memorial students come from outside Newfoundland and Labrador. So that would be significant in terms of bringing those individuals, not only from Canada, but from international as well.
Good. Yeah. If I may jump to 4.401. I asked about the delinquency earlier with the tuition freeze, but I think this is more fitting now when we're talking about the student loans.
So that's the information we'd have to get for you, Craig.
Okay.
We don't have that at the top of my head. It typically, but I will say this, is typically not high from a provincial perspective, because most of the money that goes out from a provincial perspective is in the form of grants. But again, there's a collection process that is involved that finance handles, but we can get you some numbers on that.
Okay. That's good. I yield back to my colleague.
Thank you, Chair. Just one question at this point in time. My colleague brings up the fact that the Mundrop the admissions average had been dropped. I'm just curious as to why they did that. Would it be because of in recognition of the impact of COVID-19?
It simply comes down to the fact that, and same with the K-12 system, and they don't want any student to be disadvantaged because of COVID-19. So, yes, it would be because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Purdy. Mr. Purdy.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chair. Mon has seen an increase in enrollment. Has the College of North Atlantic seen similar?
So, yes. The college is seeing about 6.7% of an increase in this fall's enrollment. I do caution, though, of the 5841 or the 5814 I shared with you as the enrollment, around 780 of those are actually trainouts from last semester. So that's the other concern here for institutions, is they have to ensure that, just not in terms of enrollment of new students, but they have to ensure that students who may have been impacted by the COVID pandemic in the past year, or their issues and needs are addressed as well.
Can you explain trainouts?
So basically what it means is that there were individuals who may have been slated to graduate or to complete a certain term in the spring, and because of the COVID pandemic and any impact there, they've had to become obviously a priority for the college this semester.
Good. Thank you. 4.301. And 4.302, can you explain the federal revenue in both instances and how this accounted for?
Yeah, so the federal revenue in the operations is labor market development agreement funding. So any student attending the college that are EI eligible, then they could be funded through the labor market development agreement. And then the federal funding down below would be for the strategic infrastructure projects. Such as the heavy equipment operating center in Stephenville.
Okay. Good.
Mr. Dinn, I think any further questions? No. Mr. Purdy, I guess it's all with you, sir. If you have any further questions?
No, I am good.
All right. I thank you very much. Thank everyone. I guess we have some time, so I'll. First of all, let's vote in the outstanding estimates. So I'll ask the clerk to call that, please.
1.1.01 to 4.4.02 inclusive.
Shall 1.1.01 through to 4.4.02 inclusive carry? All those in favor? All those in favor?
Okay.
All those against? The estimates are carried. Clerk, total?
Total.
Shall the total carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Total is carried. Shall I report the estimates of the Department of Education? All those in favor? Without amendment. Carried without amendment, I'm sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? These estimates are carried forward. We have a few minutes. I would ask the... I'm sorry, let me just do these formalities first. I need someone to move the acceptance of the minutes from a meeting that we had just a few hours ago. Thank you, the member, Ms. Parsons. All those in favor of those minutes? Aye. All those against? Thank you. The minutes are carried. Madam Clerk, what a remaining thing? I guess I can turn for any final remarks. I'm thinking all my little details. Yes, I'll turn to the minister, please. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank committee members and all staff in the department for coming back for a second day of the very exciting process of estimates.
Thank you. And Mr. Pardy.
Just a little anecdote, and I echo what the minister had stated, how exciting they are. When I first became an administrator at Clarenville, I remember one of my first sessions when I went into the building, we had trouble with the furnace back at that time. And I remember our maintenance expert from the school district came in and met with the crew from North Atlantic. And as an administrator, when I listened at the exchange between and listened to our maintenance person, which was hired in that school district, he knew as much as what the people who were going to service, and maybe even more. And why I share that little anecdote was that one thing about these estimates is that when you ask a question, it's obvious that the answer that you get back, you have people who know what they're referencing, and they know their stuff. And that's quite evident in the estimates that we've had here. So I commend you on what you do, and you appear to be at the top of your game. Good stuff.
Thank you. The member for St. John's Centre.
Thank you, Chair. And again, thank you for the work you do. It's Newfoundland has got such a vast geography, and the needs of that face schools in St. John's are not necessarily the school needs that face schools, a school up in Nain. So it's a huge area, a vast number of needs. And any time, Chair, that you're dealing with young people, multiple needs, they come from different backgrounds, and to try to come up with a system that meets all those needs is challenging at the best times to allocate resources and also to govern post-secondary as well. It's a huge undertaking. And thank you for the work you do and for the answers you provide.
I'd like to thank you all. I find it, it can be a little dry, but it certainly is informative. And I thank you all for your attention. With that, I need a motion to adjourn. Thank you for the member for Gander. So this is adjourned. Do we have a next meeting? No, we don't. Oh, I have one more to witness. But with that, we'll vacate the premises, please, and allow the folks to come in and clean up for us for another session at 1100 hours. Yes, thank 1100 hours. Thank you.